Stay tuned as we talk about an astonishing prophetic portrait in the Old Testament that points to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, in the New Testament, today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. This is Messianic Perspectives, the daily Bible teaching program sponsored by CJF Ministries in San Antonio, Texas. You can visit us online at cjfm.org. This is Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick, our Bible teacher, is talking about an amazing prophetic picture of Yeshua HaMashiach in the Old Testament. The title of this series is Joseph, a Prophetic Portrait of the Messiah. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now with today's study, here is Dr. Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you, and welcome to another edition of Messianic Perspectives. It's good to have you with us today, listening friend, as we continue this series of studies on Joseph from the book of Genesis. And we said last time that there are at least 17 specific prophetic parallels between Yosef and Yeshua, between Joseph and Jesus. That is, 17 prophetic links in the life of Joseph that point so clearly and so unmistakably to Jesus as the Messiah. Now, before we get started, it's interesting to note that Joseph is the seventh major character in the Genesis narrative. In other words, there were six other major characters who came before him, namely Adam, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph is number seven. And in the Bible, seven represents perfection or completion. And of all the people in the Bible, Joseph is the most complete type of the Messiah. It's also interesting that Jesus had six forerunners also. When you read the gospel narratives, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find that there were six major characters who came before Jesus. They were Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah, the angel Gabriel, and who else? John the Baptist. That's six. And then came Yeshua, or Jesus, number seven, the number of perfection. Now, I don't know if it was designed that way or if it's just a coincidence. I only mention it because I think it's interesting that Joseph is the seventh major character in the Genesis narrative, and Jesus is the seventh major character in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, now let's get started. We said there are 17 prophetic links, or 17 parallels, between the lives of Joseph and Jesus. 17 ways in which Joseph prefigured the life and work of Jesus the Messiah. Here they are. Number one, both Joseph and Jesus were given two names. Now watch this. In the book of Genesis, Joseph had two names. First, of course, he was called Joseph, or in Hebrew, Yosef, which literally means let him add. It has the idea of adding or augmenting or increasing. The Bible says his mother, Rachel, named him Yosef when he was born because she wanted God to add to her yet another son, Genesis 30, 24. She wanted a second son. The answer to that prayer was Benjamin, who was born years later, and that's when Rachel died, by the way. Now, interestingly, Yosef is actually a contraction of a longer Hebrew name, Yehosef. But this youngest son of Jacob was known by the shorter form, Yosef. Both forms have the same meaning, which is to add or to augment. Even today, in modern Hebrew, the word Hosef means to add or to increase. But Joseph also had another name, and that was the name he received when he went down to Egypt, Zaphnath-Paaneah. Many archaeologists and linguists have registered their scholarly opinions as to what Zaphnath-Paaneah meant, but the fact is that the ancient Egyptian language died out thousands of years ago, and no one knows for sure what this name meant. The Talmud says it meant revealer of secrets, and I think that's as good a definition as any, and it certainly is appropriate in this case because that's exactly what Joseph was in Egypt. He was a revealer of secrets. He unlocked the secrets of Pharaoh's dreams in Genesis 41, and that's what precipitated his rise to power in the land of Egypt. Okay, now what do we have so far? Joseph had two names. The first name was his personal name. And this personal name had two forms, a contracted form or a shorter form, and then a longer form. Then he had a second name that was given to him later, a name that described what he was called to do. He was a revealer of secrets. Now, watch this. Like Joseph, Jesus also has two names. First of all, he is Yeshua, or if you pronounce it in its anglicized form, Jesus. In Hebrew, it's Yeshua, which is a form of the word for salvation. In fact, the word salvation is Yeshua, which is exactly the same as the word Yeshua, except that it has the letter He on the end. So it means salvation. Yeshua, without the He on the end, is actually a contraction of the longer name Yahashua, or you might recognize the English name Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. That's why the angel who announced the birth of the Messiah in Matthew 1:21 said he would be named Yeshua, because he would do what? He would save his people from their sins. So this was Jesus' personal name. And just like the name Joseph, there was a short form and a long form, Yeshua and Yahashua. And again, just like Joseph, Jesus had a second name that was given to him later, and that is the title of Messiah or Mashiach. This was a name the Son of God received when he left home, like Joseph, and went to a faraway land. Because the Son of God left his home in heaven, took upon himself the form of a servant, like Joseph, and he entered this sinful world. The difference between Joseph and Jesus is that Joseph didn't have a choice. He was forced to go to Egypt. It was not his decision. But Jesus chose to leave heaven. He chose to lay aside his robes of divinity. He chose to become a man. He chose to die on the cross. He did it willingly for you and for me. And like Joseph, whose Egyptian name was descriptive of what God had called him to do, the name Mashiach or Messiah was descriptive of what God had called Jesus to do, because it means anointed one. It's a special title that applied to prophets, priests, and kings, because they were all anointed with oil in connection with those offices. But it finds its ultimate application and fulfillment in the person and work of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, because he is our prophet, priest, and king. He is a prophet with a capital P, like unto Moses, Deuteronomy 18:18. He is our great high priest who has passed through the heavens to come down to this earth, Hebrews 4:14. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords, Revelation 19:16. Prophet, priest, and king. He is the anointed one of Israel, the Messiah, the fulfillment of all the hopes and dreams and promises and prophecies of the Old Testament. And remember, the name Yosef meant adder. It comes from a word that means to add or increase. So if you think of this in mathematical terms, adding and subtracting, you could say that Satan is the great subtractor and Jesus is the great adder. Satan brought sin into this world in the Garden of Eden, and when he did, he subtracted from Adam and Eve. He took away from Adam and Eve their innocence, their happiness, their joy, their peace. He robbed them. He cheated them, because that's how he operates. And don't think he's gone out of business, my friend. The devil is very much alive and well as we go into the 21st century, and his tactic is still the same. He's a subtractor, a robber, a destroyer. He wants to take away from everything that is pure, everything that is good, everything that is helpful, everything that is edifying, everything that is noble, and he will if you let him. But Jesus is the great adder. Everything the devil takes away, Jesus can give back. Everything the devil has destroyed, Jesus can restore. And I'm not talking about merely in the physical realm, but more importantly, in the spiritual realm. Spiritually, you and I are born dead in sins and trespasses. We are spiritually dead, the Bible says. When God warned Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, what did he tell them? He said, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall" what? "You shall surely die." Now, that doesn't mean Adam and Eve would drop over dead the moment they ate of the forbidden fruit. It means they died spiritually. They died in their spirits. But Jesus came so our spirits can be made alive. In Ephesians 2:1, it says, "Jesus has made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Hallelujah! So there is this contrast between Satan and Jesus, or between Adam and Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, you have this first Adam, last Adam motif, where Jesus is the last Adam. And it says, "Through the first Adam, many were lost, but through the last Adam, many will be saved. Through the first Adam, many were subtracted from the kingdom, but through the last Adam, many will be added to the kingdom." Through the first Adam, the creation fell under a curse and paradise was lost, but through the last Adam, the curse will be neutralized and paradise will be restored. That's in Romans chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. So, sin results in death, that is, spiritual death, which means separation from God, both in this world, or what the rabbis call Olam Hazeh, and in the world to come, Olam Haba. But Jesus gives us life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So Jesus is the great adder, like Joseph. Satan is the subtractor. What the first Adam lost, the last Adam has regained. And the question that remains is, what about you, listening friend? Do you know him? Have you ever received him? Was there ever a time when you deliberately, consciously asked him to save you? If not, you can do that right now. Just pray and confess that you're a sinner. The Bible calls that repentance. And ask him to come into your heart and save you, and he will. Then write to us, and we'll send you some helpful information through the mail. Well, that's all of our time for today. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue our study of Joseph as a type of Christ. Until then, this is your friend Gary Hedrick saying, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. You've been listening to Messianic Perspectives, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Gary Hedrick and CJF Ministries. If you enjoyed today's program, you'll be glad to know that the entire series is available on CD. The title is Joseph, A Prophetic Portrait of the Messiah. And it's available for a contribution of just $6 or more to this ministry. This CD includes all of the programs in this series. It covers all 17 parallels between Joseph in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament. It shows how amazingly accurate the Old Testament types and prophecies really were. So accurate, in fact, they form a powerful proof that Jesus of Nazareth was exactly who he claimed to be, the promised Messiah of Israel. How could so many details, dozens of them in fact, fall into place by mere chance? Clearly, it has to be the Lord's doing. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues with Joseph, A Prophetic Portrait of the Messiah, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.